Yeah, I had Tiffany up here, and then we had to redo it because she said too much. So
she snapped.
Well, not snapped, but here's...
You kept it, right?
No, I didn't put it out there.
But you have it.
Yes, I do have it.
Ooh, I would love to see that shit.
What I'm trying to say is... I have to respect her wishes.
Patreon. Of course. Patreon.
Yeah.
I'm under her fucking production company. She's trying to...
Yeah, so don't throw her under the bus.
Why would I... I would never do that.
So what I'm saying is don't say anything. Oh, we're already getting in trouble. The truth is, if you and I talk like we talk on the phone, we'd have zero friends in this business. It'd be over.
We're canceled. Yeah. Canceled.
Yeah, for sure. So... All right, we're going to try not to get each other in trouble. Okay. All right. So, and I'll introduce you in a second. Okay. Let me just make sure, like, all the mics.
So I can drink my water.
You can jump in, and then I'll introduce you as a guest afterwards. So,
as you're ranting, is the camera recording me?
Yeah.
But is it showing you? It's just on you as you rant, and then when you introduce me, it opens up to both of us.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. Well, I don't know. We'll see when I edit it. I mean, because maybe you'll say something funny. I suspect. You're one of the few people that makes me funnier, so I suspect you can jump in. This is what I'm talking about right here. Is this? I want to introduce my audience to my new clothes steamer.
Oh yes, amazing!
Thanks to the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club. I want to thank you for providing me with this.
Irons, man. It's better than irons.
I guess it is. I haven't used it yet, but here's the thing: when I got there, the manager came in and said we got the steam iron that you asked for.
You wanted it.
No, I didn't. Why would I want a steam iron?
It's really good.
Yeah, but I didn't. Okay. But here's what happened. Here's the confusion. And this is why people think comics are difficult. Like, they're so afraid of us that they actually went out and bought me a steam iron. Because I was communicating with the press person, like the publicist. And we had three TV spots lined up for Friday.
Yeah.
So the week before, she kept sending me like, now this is at this time. I'll pick you up at 7:15. So I'm all confused. So I wanted to send me an itinerary. Like just send me a full itinerary. Yeah, yeah. So in the meantime, I get an email that I thought was complete spam. And it just says from Joy. Now, it turns out Joy's the manager of the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club. And I know there's a Joy. But I don't know her last name. And to be honest with you, she's miserable. Why is her name Joy? She's the least joyful person I know. So like, her last name should be Joy, not Joyful. So I get an email that I think is spam. It says, iron. Hey, Orny, low caps. Will a steamer do? ? So I don't respond.
Right, because you don't know.
I don't know who Joy is. I don't know why somebody's asking me
about a steamer.
A steamer. So I show up and there's Joy, and she said, well, did you get my email? I said, what is this with the iron? She said, you asked the publicist for an iron. I said, why would I ask the publicist for an iron? I said, show me. I said, I swear to God, because I think this is happening. I think like ChatGPT is impersonating me and contacting comedy clubs and making me look difficult. So sure enough, I sent the publicist one line. What I meant to send was, hi, Vanessa, can you get me an itin for next Friday? It autocorrect to iron. So now there's a whole string she showed me of they had to CC the other manager, general manager of the club. They had to CC the owner and corporate because this is Vegas. So it's like corporate. So the mob's involved with me getting my steamer. So this is all because of a typo. Can I get an I-10,
get the guy his fucking iron.
Yeah.
There you go.
So now I got an iron. That's what's wrong with Orny Adams. It's episode, I believe it's 78. I got to get this thing off the ground. It's going to drive me nuts.
Are you going to litter?
Yeah, no. I'll put it right there in the sink.
Oh, fuck.
There you go. No, I still got a shot. My guest today is a comedian, a friend, somebody I worked with nonstop in New York City. And I have to say this. I have never laughed more with another comedian more than you.
You're right.
No question. What's wrong with Orny Adams? Episode 78. I hope it is.
Am I doing this?
Yeah, you can listen to it. This is a theme song. This is Harlan Williams and his cousin singing. Yeah, listen. Check it out. Oh, no. Don't break the headsets. It's already the end of the song. You already missed it.
Okay.
All right. We'll play it again next time.
Do I put the headphones on?
Yeah, you can listen to it. This is just when I talk over. Okay. We're going to have a... This is a great show. More importantly, at the end, I'm going to share with Godfrey. I've been waiting since December, Godfrey. I'm bringing this down. I have a clip of me performing at Cirque du Soleil in Las Vegas.
What?
Yeah, I performed.
You opened up for them?
No, opened up. I was in the middle of the show. I went on after the acrobatics and all that craziness.
Really?
But here's the thing.
Wow.
I missed my cue. And I screwed up the entire show. This is like a Broadway.
Cirque du Soleil, you got to be, what the hell? And those, all that shit.
Well, you know, when you get a little loose after a few days of performing and you think you can sort of, you know.
Yeah. So when was your cue? Like,
it's just at the end.
What was the theme? Because they're thematic. Because I've seen Mystère.
Yeah.
And I've seen like two of them. And they're all themes.
Yeah. This was Mad Apple.
Mad Apple.
And okay. So what it is they it's. Everything you see in Cirque du Soleil, then a lot of like dancing.
Yeah, of course.
And comedy. They wanted it to be like a comedy club. So they have two comics on.
Oh, in the Cirque du Soleil?
In the Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you got to come out. You would be perfect for it. They need you to be really aggressive and you know, go after this audience.
Yeah.
So I'll show you clips. But at the end, you have to come out for a bow. Okay. And I miss my cue. And I run out in the middle of them dancing, the finale, and I'm almost bumping into people. These are athletes spinning at full speed, almost running into me. So I've got the clip. Cirque du Soleil,
I can't wait to see
granted
it.
Me permission to share it.
Okay.
And I was going to bring it on like Corolla's podcast.
Right, right.
But I thought, this is perfect for God.
Oh, man.
You're gonna die when you see this clip.
Cirque du Soleil.
Yep, yep. Just
already fucking up the ending.
You better believe it. How long have we known each other?
98, 99, right?
Probably.
When did you get to New York?
I feel like I was.
I was in New York 97.
Yeah, I feel like it was right around then.
97, 98. You lived on a Horatio.
Yeah, boy, you remember that.
Alice Spivak lived above you.
Who else lived above me?
You know Alice Spivak? Did you know Alice Spivak?
Yeah.
She passed away.
Yeah.
By the way.
You told me that.
Yeah, yeah. She passed away. But she lived. And that was it. I remember 95 Horatio, and I would go downstairs, yeah, that stairway.
Yeah, I had a spiral.
Spiral
direct. A duplex.
You were living shit. Fuck. Even in New York.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That was passed on for years, like 25 years, this lease. They kept adding a name.
Really?
And that's how you got on it.
Wow.
So it was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath duplex, doorman building. I had a deck. Remember, I had a patio off of my $2,100 a month.
Nice.
2100.
I mean, it sucks, but nice.
Yeah, but upstairs was Dave Chappelle.
Yes. Chappelle lived there. Yeah, damn.
And then there were tons of models.
Models.
And they thought because I was a comic, I had drugs. So right, at like 3 in the morning, they were like knocking on my door looking for drugs.
Yeah, and you weren't that far from the meatpacking.
No, it was right there. And it was the meatpacking district.
Oh, that was when it was awesome.
Yeah.
Clubbing.
Transvestites on bikes.
On bikes. It was wild, but it was
Lou
cool.
Lou Reed was on the corner.
Lou Reed
used to sit on the stoop like two doors down from
The color girls say,
I'm not doing that line.
The color girls say, you think about it. You go, holy shit. He goes, the color girls say, it's like Brown Sugar.
Yeah.
They wanted to like not play that anymore. Brown Sugar with the Rolling Stones.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that stuff?
I mean, color girls say, it's the time. It was at the time. I don't think he meant it in a bad way.
Yeah.
But it was just how they talked back then. That's an old song.
Yeah, because I'm rewatching The Sopranos. I'm trying to watch anything that was filmed before cell phones.
Right.
Where it's just not people on their screens all the time.
I mean, All in the Family.
Yo.
Sanford and Son. This all the Norman Lear shit. They went in.
Well,
they were very real with it.
Well, so one of my favorite lines.
Yeah.
And we'll see what you think about it.
Okay.
So the guy, what was it? There was Archie Bunker.
Archie Bunker.
Yeah, who else?
Mike Stivic, who was the son.
Son.
The Polack.
Yeah.
Then there was the daughter.
Yeah.
That's, what's her name?
And Lionel.
And the next door neighbors, the Jeffersons was a spinoff of All in the Family. They were next door neighbors.
Right.
There was Lionel, there was George Jefferson and Wheezy.
Yeah.
Wheezy Jefferson. They were next door neighbors in Queens, New York.
Right.
To the Bunkers.
Right, right.
The black family moved in. So
that's Godfrey hitting the desk in case.
George Jefferson and Archie Bunker
yeah.
were pretty much nemesis.
Yeah.
You know?
No, so Archie Bunker, whatever he did for work. I don't know what he was like.
Blue collar guy works somewhere.
They were going on strike.
Yes.
And Lionel, is it Lionel?
The son, Lionel.
No, Lionel was the guy who owned the dry cleaners, the black guy.
Well, that's George Jefferson.
Oh, that was...
His son was Lionel.
Okay, so George comes
in. He had one son, Lionel.
That was Meathead? Was Lionel?
Meathead was Rob Reiner.
Yeah.
That's Meathead.
So George Jefferson had a son, Lionel.
Yes, that's the black family. Lionel's okay. And Meathead, Mike Stivic, is the son of Archie Bunker and Edith.
Okay, so George Jefferson.
Yes.
I remember that he was in the doorway.
Yes.
And he was so anxious to find out if they had gone on strike.
Right.
If, what's the guy's name again? I blanked on it.
Carol O'Connor? Archie Bunker.
Archie Bunker. Okay. Yeah. So he says to Archie, he said, you people decide to go on strike? And he says, first of all, you people are you people.
That's awesome. Isn't that great?
And it's
so good.
Could you do that today?
You should be able to. I think that kind of dynamic needs to come back to TV because people are so full of shit. And it's like this cancel culture is so fucking whack.
Mm-hmm.
It's so corny. Everybody wants to be called different pronoun, all this silly ass shit. It's like, my thing is, I don't care what you are, live your life. But this whole terminology shit is bullshit because racism hasn't moved anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Norman Lear type of shit is what we need to address, the racial shit that still goes on. It hasn't changed. It's just different. But it's still there.
It might be worse.
People still using the N-word. People using anti-Semitic shit. People are still using those words. They're still doing it. Mm. They're still killing a lot of black people for no fucking reason. They're still murdering, you know, gay people. Mm. They're still, you know. And then there's what's really sad is there's racism in the gay community, which is hilarious because there's white gays that are racist against black gays and Latino gays. And they're the ones crying the most. The white gays are the ones that cry the most. They're the ones that are always in videos doing silly shit like, fuck you! Fuck you! You know, they're the only ones because it's white privilege.
Yeah.
You know, and I literally got discriminated against with a white trans dude at, you know, Cafe Reggio right next to The Cellar.
Yes.
The little Italian. It's like Mamoon's.
Yeah, right. Of course.
I love that place.
I wish I could have afforded to go there when I was living in New York.
And I was eating over there and I had a spot. So I just said, let me eat something real quick at Reggio's. It's like 10 steps away.
Yes.
You know? And so there's a trans in there. White trans.
I still don't know if you can say trans. Can you?
I think he wasn't fully changed. Like you could tell he was working on it.
But I'm just saying I couldn't say that with confidence.
I mean, what I call it because I'm around. I always ask questions. Yeah. There's a trans.
Yeah.
You know, there's you know, you have the binary. I don't know all of it, but I go, it's a trans. I can tell it was a trans. And I could tell they were changing over at some point. Because he was wearing makeup and, you know, and I think he had some bread. I don't know. But I was like, whatever. He's a waiter there. And so I had some like tea, something real simple. And they were like, Godfrey, you're going on next. And I'm sitting outside.
Yeah.
So they can see me. Yeah. So I was like, okay. So I went and I left my stuff at the table and walked over to see my time on the board. You know, a little board at the Cellar. And so the dude, when I come back, he goes... He literally starts talking in a black lingo.
Yeah.
Goes, I thought you were trying to run off on your bill.
This is a white guy.
A white guy.
Oh.
And I said, first of all, Mr. Trans dude, don't ever fucking talk to me like that. I said, I've been coming here way before you.
Yeah.
I've known the owner since 99.
Right.
And you just fucking got here. This is last year.
Why is he getting involved?
This is last year. I go,
why even say anything?
I go, I don't know. I said, why would I run off on my bill, which is... What, $6-$7? I work right next door. Yeah. I just went to see, and my stuff is here. And you're fucking talking to me in this urban language. And this is a trans person being racist. I said, so I guess you're trans and you're just being a white man right now. Talking crazy to me. I said, see, this is the shit that I don't like. You sit there complaining and bitching about your gay rights, but you're being racist to me.
Mm.
So I said, go fuck yourself, dude. Seriously, get the fuck out of my... He never talked to me again. I go, don't play that shit with me.
Well, you see him all the time?
I don't. He
was
might
he joking?
Not,
was he like?
No, he wasn't. You, no. He wasn't. No, because he's he's a terrible waiter. First of all,
he's a waiter.
He's a waiter.
I'm confused. Okay, you did you say
waiter? It's a waiter.
I don't hit the table too much.
Okay, it's a waiter at the Cafe Reggio.
I got it. Okay, got it.
They have waiters. I get along with all.
Another good way to get a tip, by the way.
I get along with all the waiters because they know me. And
I know you would have at least rounded up to $10, right?
Yeah. He's a terrible waiter too, but it's like you forgot what you were.
Is race a conversation going on in your head all the time?
Damn near.
Yeah.
I try not to make it that way, but they trained me. You coming out of Boston. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. They trained us to be like that. Like when you see a lot of, like, look at Patrice O'Neal's from Boston. Like, a lot of black comedians, whether they're Caribbean, African, whatever the fuck, we talk about race because it was brought to us. It wasn't like, I have jokes on race. I have really good racial jokes. I go, racism tapped me on the shoulder. Yeah. I was minding my business, being a human being. My parents are amazing. And some racism tapped me and said, hey, what's up? I was like, I'm racism. I don't fucking like what you look like.
Yeah.
I don't like what you look like. I'm going to call you a name.
I remember called you during the George Floyd riot era.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to check in.
Yeah.
But more importantly, I felt an obligation to let you know that not all white people are like that.
But listen, not all, of course.
And you need to be reminded of that there was outrage.
Right.
And there's outrage all the time in our community.
But of course, I know white people that are not like that. And this is not me trying to say it to appease anybody. It's facts. There are white people that just don't go around trying to, discriminate against blacks or Latinos or Asians. They just live their life and they're just good people. There are whites that are like that. And they recognize that they do have a benefit because they have white skin. They recognize that, but they don't push it upon people. Mm-hmm. You've seen the Karens, which I love that the Karen.
You were talking about that last night.
The Karens, it's stuck. I said Karen is an unfuckable white woman.
Because
I've never heard anybody go, yo, I'll fuck the shit out that Karen.
Yeah, even the husbands don't.
It's the truth. They got a Dominican side chick. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's usually the case.
Let me ask you about the Sopranos, and then let's get the hell off of race and let's start laughing.
I don't know. Listen.
Yeah.
When I talk about race, I don't want to talk about it, but it's so prevalent. And I wish that when I got on stage, I go, you know, man, I do a racial joke. Everyone goes, that's old, man. That's dated. But what's fucked up, if I can listen to a Malcolm X speech from 1961, it's like I'm listening to yesterday. Yeah. And what is that saying? Is it saying that white folks are still in their same mindset? Or is it saying that we've moved on, but maybe the people in power have not moved on? It's the same when people say, my God, it's 2023. I think it's 1923, actually. Yeah. Because people's mentality are still calling you the N-word. It's still fucking sick shit. You know, they got an anti-lynching bill that is still not, they still got to think about it in Mississippi.
What are they
and are
about?
Trying to bring back Jim Crow.
Yeah.
Now, in Mississippi.
I know. And
it's sick. That's from the early 1900s.
I know. And I don't mean, as a white person to cut off the conversation.
You're a white Jewish guy.
Yes.
And you can pass because they don't know. You're lucky.
I know. And
you're
you're
not Sephardic.
And I changed my name. Legally changed.
I know.
So, from my legal name, I could hide.
Isn't that crazy?
And I admit that.
Right.
I
you admit it, yeah.
I wasn't comfortable. People, which is what you're saying, I wasn't comfortable that immediately, if you asked me my name, you knew I was Jewish.
Right.
But what's interesting is me being Jewish comes up on every podcast now. Just like you being black comes up on every podcast.
Of course. Yeah. And some people bring me on their podcast because it's Black History Month.
That's unbelievable.
Some white dude, the white comics are like, yo, I need you on my podcast. Is it February, you asshole?
Wow.
It's stupid.
But how do you feel? Like on The Sopranos, I'm watching The Sopranos now. And early on in season one, there was what I would call very anti-Semitic sort of portrayal of Jews. Yeah. And as we go on, the way they portray or the way they feel about blacks and
We know how Italians feel about black people.
Okay, but can you watch The Sopranos and appreciate it?
Sure.
I can
because it's real.
Do you think they could make that program now? Do you think that they could?
I think they could. I think they should. We need it because people are still like that. You have to be real with it. I like that. They go, hey, you fucking niggas, you fucking eggplants. Yeah. show that.
Well, like I'm in season three.
I need them because here's the thing about Italians. That's why it's important to learn history. You learn history of Ashkenazis, and you learn history of Sephardics and Ethiopian Jews. When they tell people to forget about the past, it's bullshit. You have to, when you learn the history of people, when they say little things, you go, you kind of know where it comes from.
Yeah.
Like Italians, when they first came to America, I watched a PBS. First of all, Ken Burns does the greatest documentaries. I watched Italian Americans when they came to Ellis Island. Mm. They looked like they were from India. They were so dark. I'm not lying. You got to see it. And LaGuardia.
Do you think they color corrected that to make it that way?
No.
Hilarious.
Were they wearing blackface? But yeah, the Italians were at a while because like.
Well, the Sicilian.
Yeah,
I think,
well, Jewish people, a lot of you guys came and were put in the ghettos of New York with the Irish, but they weren't considered white. But that's at a certain point, they said, you guys are white now. That's when everybody turned around and called us the N-word.
Yeah.
Because we're like, oh, we're not being discriminated. I mean, Jewish people, of course, of Ashkenazi still get treated like shit here and there. But black people were getting everybody's bullshit.
Right.
You know, Italians started calling us the N-word when Italians are not really white. They're Mediterranean.
Yeah, yeah.
And Sicilians have so much African blood in them.
A lot of confused racists.
Remember, it's like you're cheating. It's like, well, you
self-hatred.
Remember True Romance?
Yes.
But Dennis Hopper talks to Christopher Walken and goes, hey, so you're Sicilian. That means the black people, Africans, came in and fucked the Italians. So you got like... He's like, you got nigger blood in you. He said it. And that's when Christopher Walken murders him. Remember?
Wow. Yeah.
He kills him. Yeah. Because he goes, yeah, you're Sicilian. You're black.
These Italians. So I think it's season three. Meadow has a boyfriend who is mixed.
Yeah.
And he finds out first that the boyfriend is Jewish. And he's kind of like not happy about it. And then he goes, but so your dad's Jewish. What's your mom?
Black.
And then he goes off.
Yeah,
because, he was almost ready to accept the Jew. Almost.
Because there's a tier of racism.
Yeah.
There's tier because Sherrod, remember Sherrod?
Yeah.
Sherrod Small
is he dead?
No, he's around. Okay. Sherrod's still rocking. Okay. Sherrod has a joke where he goes, I know a guy who hates Jews. He hates blah, blah, blah. He goes, but he doesn't mention black. He hates like Asians. And then he goes, so you know who's next on the board of hatred. If they hate Jewish people or they hate Asians, guess you know black people are at the top. And it's the truth. We are, I call ourselves the Nike of hatred.
Yeah.
We are Nike. We're Nike. Jews are Adidas.
Really? Latino. Adidas?
Yeah, that's you're Adidas. We're Nike. We're top.
Yeah.
And Jewish people will be Adidas.
You did this comparison last night on something
I did
else.
It with the vaccines.
And and Reebok.
I said Reebok.
Yeah.
And like Asians would be like Reebok.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, they're there, but they're not like a problem. It's the Jewish and the black people that really...
They should be one of these, like Delta should be like Avia. Remember those shoes that just disappeared?
Oh, Avia. Avia, the Avias.
They just disappeared.
They were trash, but they might bring them back. They're bringing back all the retro shit now.
Yeah.
Do you know what's selling out now?
Not my shows. And I'm pretty retro.
Right. But you know what's really selling out now?
What?
Cassettes again.
Oh, really?
Digital cameras, because these kids, they think they're new things.
Can I
boom boxes too?
Okay, this is how it works. Yeah. And I'm telling all the young people this. I'm looking into the camera. Don't throw anything out from your childhood.
Don't throw anything.
Save it. Don't listen to your parents.
Put it in a box and put it in a storage.
Time your parents, capsule. Parents are going to say there's no room in the attic. There's no room in the basement.
Yeah.
And they want you to get rid of it. And what happens the minute you throw that stuff out, which is about 5 years out of college.
Comes right back.
That's what happens. 20 years, you have to go out for 20 years and make a lot of money, because then all of a sudden you're going to use all the money you made to buy back
which is super expensive.
Like toys like that.
This right here, guys.
Yeah.
I fucking claimed
ColecoVision.
ColecoVision. The football. This was my shit.
Dashes. That's all we had.
I love the dashes. Touchdown.
Yeah.
This is coming back.
Yeah,
these games are coming back because people... It's new to the new generation. Like, what the fuck is this? It's like a new technology
to
them.
I'm trying to buy a boombox, and I swear to God,
I want a boombox.
I think I threw mine out only a few years ago.
I do. I want a boombox. Yeah. I want a record player.
Remember, it took like 78D batteries.
Yeah.
Like, This is before Elon Musk and Tesla. You had to like load in these and play for like 2 hours.
Knowing Elon Musk, he's going to probably get a car with a big battery you put in. He's going to be like, yeah, I just decided. Well, why don't we put some D batteries in a car?
Yeah, why
like,
not?
Why fucking
when
not?
They first came out, I thought, I don't want a car with a battery. Because all I could think of was the remote control for your TV.
Yeah.
When it would die, you'd just take the batteries out, flip them around,
and
it would work again. So I figured we were going to see people on the side of the road taking the batteries out of the Tesla, and shaking them, and then putting them back in and getting a few extra miles.
It. Yeah.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
But that, yeah, man. The retro shit is coming back big time. Like,
let's talk about comedy, God.
Yes, comedy.
What is wrong with the current state of stand-up comedy? And don't get yourself in too much trouble, because I can tell you what it is.
I think a lot of comics should put the TED sign, TEDx sign.
Yeah, they're doing podcasts.
They're doing podcasts and TED Talks. I mean, I'm just going to say this as a purist, that, you know, it's like writing a script. There's beginning, middle, and end, and never changes. I don't give a fuck how weird the movie is. Beginning, middle, and fucking end. And the brain is just... Our brains are designed to know, oh, there's a beginning, middle, what's going to happen at the end? That's why in comedy, it's better to finish off strong than to start strong and end poorly.
Right.
When you start off weak, it's better. I'd rather have I started off a little shaky, but I ended strong.
Big close.
That's how the brain is trained.
Is it more important for a comic to convey that they're smarter than the audience or funnier than the audience?
Damn, that's a tough one. Because sometimes you want to be smart, but not too where it's like, okay, we get it. You're smart. Because some comics try to be so smart.
Yeah.
And they go, where's the funny, though? You got to remember, even George Carlin would get so academic about shit, but then he'd get really silly.
Yeah.
He knew how to put in the silly
Howard
shit.
Howard Stern does the same thing.
Yeah, you can't get too smart, because there's people that are probably just as smart as you academically. They just don't know how to put shit in comedic form. So it's okay to go, I'm smart, 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 but then go, but there's a punchline. The punchline has to come, because that arrogance that you're bringing,
yeah,
you got to end it off with a laugh.
You had a really great smart line last night. I wish I could remember it.
Fuck, what was it about?
It was really something I would have written.
Okay, yeah, that means it's on point. Because when you did Comedian and you showed everybody all your organization and your jokes, I was there. When you showed me, before you even got in that documentary.
Yeah, we used to hang out in New York City.
Yeah.
We tried to write a sitcom together called Head to Toe.
Head to Toe.
One of us was a doctor. One of us was a psychiatrist and a podiatrist.
My uncle was a podiatrist.
Yeah, so we wrote this whole thing together.
Head to Toe. That's a good fucking I still go, that's a really good. I remember when you wrote the log line, some head to toe stew, some stew shit you said. Two guys, da-da-da-da, and get mixed up in the head-to-toe stew. It was some stew shit. It was still a good idea. It's not a bad...
We were doing comedy back then, not to really get a sitcom, not for a development deal.
No, just to be funny.
So yeah. Do you fear anything as
not
a
really. I just... The only thing I don't do is I ask questions for other... Like, if I do a joke about the gay community, I ask the gay comics, what's good, what will gay people laugh at and be all right
with? I think we're all getting more and more comfortable with this culture of hypersensitivity.
Yeah, but hypersensitivity amps me up. I like fucking with them. Because we've been doing this too long, our voice is already solid.
But wasn't there... There was a time even for me, I was a little bit nervous. I'm not...
Well, you're neurotic,
anymore,
though, already. So that's that. I think that's in your culture, isn't it?
But you never fit. What, the Jews? What are you saying? Yeah. The Jews? What, you people are?
Woody Allen, yeah. You. Yeah.
So you're handpicking a few Jews that happen to be neurotic.
Elon Gold, is it?
And funny.
Elon pushes the envelope.
I don't know what happens behind closed doors. He might get, neurotic-y.
Well, Elon pushes I love that Elon, Modi pushes the envelope.
Guys still in New York? What's the New York scene like?
Well, Elon is in L.A. Modi's in New York, but now Modi's been selling out because he's doing this. He does this character, his name Nir. He's like, I'm Nir.
Synagogues?
He's selling out like Jewish shows. He does really heavy Jewish, but he's selling out everywhere.
Good for him. And what about Jim Norton and Norton Rich does, Voss and all these
but
guys?
But Norton does his character thing. What's that? Chip McPherson. He does a character on radio. He still does his radio show.
Yeah.
Is it Jim and Sam radio?
I don't know.
On Sirius XM. It's been going on. He's been on radio for, God, it has to be 15 years. So he's doing that. Jim does, he has his crowd. Rich Voss does his podcast with Bonnie and his wife,
yeah.
McFarland. I don't.
But are you at the Cellar? Like, we used to work
I still do the Cellar.
Every single night. She made me go on after Chappelle every night. Chris Rock every night.
I do spots at the Village. Now it's...
Dave Attell every night.
You know, there's 75 shows a week now, 15 a day. Because he has the Village Underground.
Yeah.
It's Village Underground. Fat Black Pussycat. The bar now. There's three rooms now.
What bar?
The bar, when you walk into the Fat Black Pussycat.
Yeah, I've never performed there.
They do the bar now. They made it since COVID. They were like, let's change this all into comedy. No more music. They got music at the Grove and the Cafe Wa. And then they got the original room. And now, I think they're... Do you remember the McDonald's that was right next
to it? Oh, yeah. They just bought that out.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's across from the Blue Note Jazz Club and Noam the Subway and across the street from the basketball court.
Noam is MacArthur. He's taken over.
He's great.
And it's all going to be comedy. It's like a comedy campus.
So McDougal Street is just becoming... So how many spots a night can you get from the
You can
cellar?
Literally get... If you're at the Cellar, you can get one, two... You can get about four or five.
Are people bouncing around?
We're just going back and forth.
So are you going up to around the corner? Strip? Are you going to stand
I don't really... I don't do that like
Gotham.
We do.
We used to go in a circle.
Gotham is not really headlining as much anymore. Headlining, but... I was a headlining at Gotham.
Right.
I don't really do the stand. I just stay at the Village Underground, the bar. I do the Fat Black. The lounge is great. And then I go around a quarter. I don't really go anywhere.
What about Boston Comedy? What's
that's,
in that space?
That's a jazz. That's a, that. That's jazz place. And it's a jazz thing now. And it's the Zinc Bar. And it's like a sushi. It's like nice.
Well, it's gone. That's gone. Who's got better comedy? New York or LA?
New York. Come on, you know that. I mean, L.A., I understand why people move to L.A. for certain reasons, but comedy-wise, you ain't fucking with New York.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying New York doesn't have shitty comics, but even a shitty comic can get better by the frequency at which they go up.
What I loved about my time in New York City was you weren't getting on at the Cellar unless you were... You know, a home run.
This is what I like, but I like that's fair, though.
But is it still that way?
No.
Are we putting TikTokers on there?
There's some questionable people that are in there, but, you know, they need spots filled. A lot of us are on the road. A lot of us are on shows, and, you know, our lives have changed where we're doing better shit.
And is it still booked by Esty?
It sure is.
Because I get emails from Liz or Esty.
I call her LOL, Lady of Laughter.
Let me say this about Esty.
Esty Adorum.
She...
A legend.
Oh, my. She... And they don't do this anymore.
No.
She's a booker that would sit in the stool...
She sure would.
10 feet away from you on stage and either laugh or not laugh.
Or not laugh.
And she would watch you, and she knew how to book a show and pace a show, and she...
She knew who to put in the front. Like, just style-wise, too. She's very good at that.
She was a love for comedy and a friend.
Yeah.
And it's people like that that really made people like me and comedy.
That's what I love. I like Rita. I love Rita
of
the improv. She really has that sense that...
Well, I'd like to see Rita in a stool 10 feet from the stage.
Yeah, yeah. Rita's so busy. I would love to see her stand there. She's old school Italian, and I like that she likes funny people,
but
man.
But we love Rita.
I love Rita. Rita's fucking fantastic.
But Esty, we feared.
You feared her. That's that Israeli thing. She'd been in the Israeli army.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she speaks Russian. She grew up and she speaks Polish. Russian, Polish.
Smoking cigarettes.
She used to smoke. No, she doesn't smoke anymore.
But in the club, she said.
And you know, when she was young, she was fire. She was fine as fuck, too. Mm. So she knows what it's like, you know, pretty woman, running dudes. And she loved her comics.
Yeah.
And she didn't like it when she gave you a spot and you put another spot in front of her spot.
Yeah.
She's like, why are you over there? You should be here. I gave you 11 o'clock and you were at the comic strip. Why?
Yeah.
And you fear, because
you feared you putting your spots they're like, you can put in your spots Friday from noon to 1 p.m. That's it. And if you miss it, we don't care if you're Robin Williams.
Yeah.
If you miss the cutoff, that was it.
Yeah.
And I wish they did it here. My biggest gripe with LA comedy is the rules are always changing.
Always.
There's no like putting your spots now and then we give you the spots on Monday. You waited on Monday you were in fear that you weren't going to get spots from the cellar and that you weren't relevant anymore in New York City. Yeah. And you did not run the light ever, ever.
And what I loved about Esty...
In LA, they run. You don't understand. Right, these people run the that light. Have done nothing are running the light.
Running the light. Like, you've got to be kidding me. Get the fuck off, man.
So, like, I close the Saturday night show at the Improv, okay? Most Saturdays.
Yeah, okay.
And they
are you performing tonight? I'm 11:10 at the factory.
No, I took tonight off.
Okay, that's cool.
I do one night a week now.
Nice.
That's all I need to do.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's
what's up. I'm sick of people running. Get off when you're supposed to get off. Like, that's it. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
You're not, and the worst is-
wrap it up, like doing your joke, just wrap it up within that minute or two. Just wrap it up.
If you're tanking, don't stay up there and tank.
And they stay
you're
up.
You're tanking for 12 minutes. And you're not going to get them in the last three.
We need to bring back audiences that go, boo! We need to bring that back.
Well, let's discuss
bring
last
back
night.
The boo.
Let's discuss
bring
last
back
night.
The get the fuck off. Bring back Amateur Night at the Apollo.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So last night- we were at the Laugh Factory together.
Yes, we were.
And I had to follow Godfrey, and then we go to the Improv, and Godfrey had to follow me.
You. Yes. You took off, though, right?
I watched a few minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was.
I saw you. This is what happened at the Laugh
Factory. Laugh Factory was fire, wasn't it?
Oh, Godfrey.
But I was waiting for the person before. I was like, yo, god damn. Get the fuck off, bro.
Godfrey went up there, and you just turned that audience, and you were... like real belly laughs, and I was sitting there going, "This is great."
Because we've put the time in, and you know, it's what we've earned. Like if I am at the batting cage for years and I'm smacking homers, yeah, man,
dude, some
I
of these
put the work in.
There are people on these streaming platforms, the comics that don't even know how to hold a microphone.
Right.
They don't even know like it's the first time they're on a stage. And they're like, oh, no, but they're
you
from...
You know what I love is when you see the comics that are imitating comedians.
Yeah.
They get up there and they bend down and they do this.
Yeah.
I've seen them go, listen, guys. And I'm like, stop. Like, listen, first of all, I'm not going to sit there and act like we all followed a particular comic when we first started.
Whose was yours?
I was Jim Carrey. I was Eddie Murphy and sometimes Richard Pryor. Those were my, like... You know, I love Jim Carrey because I was a physical guy.
Right.
And I opened up for Jim Carrey at a college in Chicago. My friend said, hey, you want to open up for Jim Carrey? That's how I met Harlan Williams.
Wow.
I met Harlan in 95, 96, 90. And I have a picture with me and Jim Carrey in the basement of that college before he really took the fuck off.
Wow.
Me and Jim Carrey and I opened, I did like 10 minutes. And yeah, I was Jim Carrey influenced. I was like, Richard Pryor. Or
Cosby?
Cosby, not as much, because he was a storyteller.
Right.
More, but of course, he was...
The original podcaster.
The original podcaster. With punchlines, though.
Yeah.
And so it was those were the... And Red Fox, but it was like... The style-wise was like... I wanted to be like Pryor and Murphy, who Murphy got his style from Pryor.
Do you know this urban legend story about Red Fox in Las Vegas? I want to...
Where he walked off?
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit. They say that shit's true.
Where he just came out, he was in Vegas in a lounge.
And first they played the Sanford or something. And then he goes, man, fuck these motherfuckers.
Yeah. He left. The band just started playing again. I wish that existed as a tape.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't make guys. When I still watch old specials. I watch Red Fox. I watch Pryor. I watch Carlin a lot. I watch Dick. I watch that. I go, they don't make them as cool like that because I think it was the times back then.
Yeah.
Everybody was coked up. People were fucking.
Yeah.
It was just, everything was wide open.
When's the last time? Yeah. When's the last time you saw Eddie Murphy Raw?
Oh, shit. Raw, I saw Delirious like last year, but Raw I haven't seen in a while. I've seen clips because they show clips on Instagram.
He's in a leather suit.
A leather suit with gloves.
And he doesn't take a sip of water the entire time.
And he has leather in his glove. Yeah. When you look at what he dressed like, you're like, holy shit, he really wore that. I would never wear no shit like that.
Oh, he was the man. He was
the fucking man. He was literally, because he loved Elvis too.
Loved Elvis. His charisma was through the roof.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy he's special. He was an anomaly. He's a gifted. He's just gifted. Like, he's so funny now. Still, even comedians getting in cars.
Yeah.
Man, was he fucking funny. Whoo! He was just, it's just in him.
Is he bitter or is he funny?
Why would he be bitter, though?
I don't know. Why do comics get bitter?
Why would Eddie Murphy be bitter?
I'm bitter, but why? Like, you're bitter. Aren't you bitter?
Wait a minute. I'm bittersweet. I'm bittersweet.
If 1998 New York City Godfrey was looking at your career today, what would he say?
I'd be like, you know what? I would have said, okay, I would have done this different and maybe this different. But I thought that I did everything I possibly could. Hindsight is 2020, but I...
What is it? You didn't deserve to make it? Is that what the conclusion is? What is
I deserve to make it. I think so.
But
we
both thought we'd be in movies.
I was in some. I got in some movies here and there. I did. I have to admit. I did 7 Up. I was a spokesperson for 7 Up.
You don't
have
to admit. It's on IMDb.
I've done stuff, but I know that the beautiful thing about our business is that it's long. If you're lucky and you're healthy, it's long. Look at a guy like Bryan Cranston. His whole career changed. He changed again. You know, Bryan Cranston with Breaking Bad. And he, remember, he was Malcolm in the Middle. Then he had a big spell of...
Yeah,
where's
but
Bryan?
Don't you think this is just like more false hope that we feed ourselves? Like Rodney Dangerfield didn't make it until he was in his 50s.
Yeah, Samuel Jackson made it late.
But it's so rare. Shouldn't we just pack it up? That's what I'm asking. Is it time for us to
go
out to pasture?
To where? For what?
I don't know.
No, they're trying to make it look like it's impossible. It's not impossible. There's a lot of mediocrity that they're praising, but people are going to get tired of that shit.
What's interesting is we were the old guys on the shows last night. And how did we do?
We fucking decimated the motherfuckers.
We let them
know what time it was because... Comedy is an older person's game.
Yeah.
You can get lucky when we were young, we got lucky with our jokes, bam, 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 kill.
Yeah.
But there's something about funny people that are vets. It's a different ball game. You saw the dynamic.
I had people at the Improv last night standing when I got off.
Nice.
And, you know, it's funny to connect with people that are younger and nothing like you. And you see them wiping tears. And you go, wow, funny.
Well, that's why when you're older, it's better for you to do a college than when you're the same age as them. Because we have the experience. We went to college. So the college hasn't really changed that much.
Are you still doing colleges?
No, I don't really like them.
Sensitivity, right?
Man, after Jerry Seinfeld in an article said, I ain't doing a college.
Well, he's also got $1 billion.
Well, he has $1 billion.
There's a lot of things I wouldn't do.
But he also said, I don't want to do college because it's too sensitive. Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Says it's too sensitive. But I remember I did one college, the last college, did they go, hey, could you not talk about rape or da, da, da? I go, well, I don't talk about that, but could you tell me before I go on stage? But I'm not going to talk about it, but don't tell me right as you give me the microphone.
Mm.
So I don't really look forward to colleges at all because another thing is you don't know where they're going to put you. You don't even know if they have an auditorium. You might be in a lunchroom.
Right.
You might be on a swimming pool. Did I ever tell you about the swimming pool gig I had?
What were you doing? Water polo?
No. It was so fucking horrible. They were like, yo, I was looking for the stage. I go, hey, where am I going to be doing this show at? And the guy goes, dude, I just thought of a really great idea. It's a little different. He goes, you see the pool party that's happening?
Is it a college?
Yes, it's college. I go, yeah. He goes, so what you going to do? I have a microphone right in front of the pool, and they're going to swim up to you. When he did this shit, I wanted to fucking break his hands. He goes, so they're going to swim up to you, man.
How many people?
And it was... It was like I thought I was Frankie Avalon in fucking Beach Party with a Annette Funicello.
The water for their fingers are going to all prune.
They're there and they all swam up to me. And you're thinking about that money. I'm going to get this money. Get the fuck out of here. I fucking shit on the dude.
Yeah.
And the place went crazy. They were just laughing.
But how many people are in the pool? 50 people.
Like 50 people in the swimming pool, watching the comedy show.
Wow.
I had to do it. There was nothing else. I was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking asshole. And when he went like this, they're going to swim up to you. I want to break his hands.
What college
is this? Crack his. I don't remember and I don't want to remember. It was Fuckboy College, I think, university. I'm not sure.
Were there women in the pool too?
There were women in the pool. There were women. There were like hotties in the pool, but it was fucking annoying.
Yeah.
As comedians, we want the elements have to be perfect for us because it's already your possibility of bombing is 50-50.
Not for us, it isn't.
But you
not
know
for us. We just don't. I'm telling you, when you were killing last night, and you were killing, there was I had no fear. It was like, okay, now let me show you what I do. Okay, because it's a completely
different... It's alley-oop. It's LeBron James to Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Boom. And then vice versa. Orny just murdered. Yeah. My turn.
Yeah.
That's how you're supposed to think.
Right.
Like, that was awesome. He's totally different than me. But sometimes some people will put... It always happens in urban shows. It'll be like five comics are doing the same shit. And I go, why would you put the same kind of guy on there? Switch it up. Put, like... Make it different.
But that's what made Esty great. And Lucian at the comic strip. And these people, they made me go on after the strongest acts possible. And I didn't say, no, I don't want to do it because I want to go early.
I always went up.
I went up because it was like swinging baseball just, with the donuts with the donut, on.
It'll make you better.
Stronger. And that's why now I don't fear anything.
You don't fear shit. You know, another person's like that is Dave Attell. Attell, me and him go last. We're, sometimes Dave will go, you gonna go or me? Oh, you can go because I'm gonna do something with Jeff. Okay, we go back and forth. Me and Dave, till this day, I have a set when I get back to New York. I already got my sets. It's me or Dave at the end. It's
Where's
me
this?
Or Dave. Seller.
Yeah.
Dave still goes at the end. I go at the end. Or he goes before me. I go before him. We're always at the end.
There's another guy that just a remarkable comedian. Just a writer, Dave Attell.
Dave is just, that dude is an alien. His brain. I just go, this guy is unreal.
He looks
homeless and shit.
Yeah, but what I love about him is he never came in and was like, went over and was part of the group and shook hands.
Never.
It was just like.
Yeah, he'll drop off candy for people.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
Well.
There's candy. He just gives people gifts and walks off and looks like he hates everybody, but is one of the nicest men around. But he's so like, or like, what's it, people say, can I have a picture? And Dave will go, can you be in it? Jesus.
Right.
And he'll go, sure. And he just looks like he doesn't like people sometimes.
Yeah.
And then sometimes he'll go, hey, Gabriel, boogly, who are they?
Yeah. That's a perfect.
Boogly. Oh, racist.
What time? Like, we were working governors in Long Island.
Yeah.
And they sent a car because he was like 3 art. So they sent a car for him and he let me take the car with him out. And we're just talking. And I'm, you know, being me, I'm complaining about the business. And he goes, what is this, therapy?
Oh, damn, Dr. Phil, you got to help me because I'm just bitching.
What's your impression of me? Because I've heard you do. Oh, no. I crush. I knew it.
Who are these people? Who are these people?
I didn't realize at the time.
Do you know who's on stage right now? This is ridiculous.
Was I wrong? I don't think I was.
I don't know. Here's the thing, Arnie. You're always right. Usually you're right on point. But in our business, it's considered complaining. Mm-hmm. It's considered you're rocking in the boat, but you're always on point. That's why I laugh with tears because I'm like, you're right. Who are these motherfuckers up here? And I don't own comedy. I'm not the king of comedy. I'm the king of my comedy. I don't own it. I'm not. If I had the blueprint to being a fucking superstar, I would let people know. I don't know. Look, I'm a guy that everybody's going, what's up with Godfrey? How the fuck is he not? So I obviously, either I piss somebody off or maybe it's just the way it is. Maybe it's a little, it'll take a little longer for me. I've had my plateaus. I've done stuff. You know, MTV, hosting Spring Break. I've 7-Up guy. I've been in movies with Snoop Dogg and da-da-da. I was in Zoolander. I've done little shit here and there. They're like, it's like, where's your TV show?
Mm-hmm.
I've been on TV shows. Where's your TV show? Where's the thing where it's like Seinfeld has something. Martin had something. Fucking Will Smith had something. Where's where we see you every night where you're winning Emmys and all that shit? I go, hey, man. I'm just working. It's not like it can't happen still. I look fucking great. Fuck what you heard. I took care of myself. We always took care of ourselves. Yeah. Remember, we were always working out.
And you don't drink? You don't even drink coffee?
No, I drink maybe a lot. I like lattes, man.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't drink coffee really. On every blue moon, if it's a coffee, something mixed with hot chocolate. Yeah, but I don't do coffee, drink, drug. I drink some wines and stuff, some liquor. Yeah. My ex-girlfriend was a wine person. I started tasting them, but I don't drink. I just don't. But I have junk food. I like burgers and soda and shit. Little dumb.
Remember that place in New York on Broadway?
Yeah.
We would go and it was like sandwiches and these smoothies.
It was right there. Yeah. I know exactly which. It was Earth Cap something.
This was right when
smoothies were the shit.
We
would get the wraps.
Oh, man.
That's when we would meet. What's her name on this? We would walk along Broadway.
Yeah.
That's when because when you walk around Broadway now, it's all like young ass girls. You look like, it's just, they're so young. You're right. When I was there, it was like college girls. You're getting numbers. Now it's like you go there, you're just a creepy old dude.
Well, that's why, like, the audience last night, in particular, the one at the Improv, they looked very young to me.
But we decimated because I'm telling you, we're in our prime. We're like, that's when you're supposed to be that good, when you've done it 15, 20, 25 years. That's the thing about comedy. It takes that long to be that good.
And most people don't want to put in the time anymore.
They don't. They think, and someone told me, some comedian, delusional motherfucker told me.
Who? Say who?
No.
Come on. Pretend we're on the phone.
It's a woman. And she goes, and she's pretty funny. She goes, I'm telling you, she was drinking at the time. She goes, I'm telling you, watch. Technology, there's going to be a comic that's going to be able to surpass the time it takes to be a good comic. I go, fuck are you talking about? Uh-huh. It's not going to happen. This is not track and field where you can you're going to beat a time. Comedy don't work that way. It can't.
Why is that? Explain to
because
the audience.
You have to live through shit to get material. You have to have gone through shit. The clock of life is the same as mine, same as yours. It's 24 hours. You have to go through shit to go, oh, I remember when I was I have material on that. You have to. When I was doing comedy about nine, you know, I was also in comedian. You know that. I had little parts. You were the main. You were in Seinfeld. But I was also in comedian. Did you see me in comedian?
I haven't seen it for years.
I'm sure. And I was at the table with Seinfeld. And I remember before we were filming my set, he goes, how long have you been doing comedy? I said, I'm going on 10 years.
Yeah, that's the magic number for
me. And he goes, yeah, so you're a 9-year-old in comedy. Remember that. You're 9 years old in comedy.
Yeah.
Think about a 9-year-old. You know,
he said to me one time, I was opening for him in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to do this joke about the sniper. Remember the DC sniper?
Yes, I remember.
And he said, I wouldn't do it. I got up there. I opened with it. Because, you know, that's me.
Yeah,
don't tell me not to do it. And it destroyed. And I wouldn't say that if it didn't destroy.
No, of course.
And I got a standing ovation after doing 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And there's Jerry peeking out from the curtain. Yeah. And I have to walk right past him. And I'm ready for him to tell me what a great job I did. And he looked at me. He said, how long have you been doing it? And I said, 10 years. And he said, yeah, I was making the same mistakes at 10 years, too.
Hilarious. What an asshole. Because did he have to go up after you?
Oh, sure did.
Yeah, that's why.
But he did fine.
Oh, he did
fine. I'll be honest with you. Somebody like a Seinfeld, they're there to see him. His character's so strong. His writing.
But I give props. Seinfeld's always been cool with me. And here's what I have history with Seinfeld. Always been nice to me. He's very picky. Don't come up to him if he don't know you. Ooh, I've seen him go, yeah, who are you? I've seen him do that. Yeah. He doesn't take pictures with people either. You ever see that?
No.
Where he goes, the people's like, I love you, Simon. He goes, yeah, thanks a lot. He goes, picture? No, thanks.
Yeah. no, thanks.
I go, you love doing that. He goes, it's awesome. I go, what the fuck? And he always has his hat on. And he goes, I remember, shit. Oh, damn. There's a guy I know from Boston, mm-hmm. who was the dean of the Berklee Music, because my friend was working as security at the Berklee Music School. And I went over to Berklee to check it out, because it's so famous. And this guy named, is it Lawrence? Black dude, was Jerry Seinfeld's first roommate in college. Black dude. And we went to his house and just told us everything about Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah? Anything good?
It was crazy. He was like, yeah, Seinfeld. He goes, and he's very like, yeah, Seinfeld? Oh, no, Seinfeld used to hang with black people first. It was us. I went to his first open mic. Seinfeld was like, Jerry was like, hey, can you come to my open mic? I said, okay. I go to his open mic. It's college campus. And Jerry's up there. And then Jerry gets off. He goes, how did I do? He goes, I mean, I didn't really laugh so hard. But he goes, but you're going to be famous, though.
Wow.
You're going to be really famous. Wow. I mean, you're going to be real. You're very smart, clever. And so I made a videotape, a video of me and his first roommate. And I said, when I see Seinfeld, I'm going to show him this. And it was like 2-3 years later, I finally see Seinfeld at Gotham. And I go, hey, go. He goes, hey, man. He always shows me love. He goes, yo, what's up? I go, I got to show you something real quick. And I show, he goes, fucking Lawrence, holy shit. Wow. And he goes, hey, Jerry, don't you forget. Remember me? Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. It's in Boston.
Wow.
And I, yeah, and it's like that.
Where did he go to college? I thought he went to college in like Long Island.
I forgot where he went. But he was, he's known him before George Wallace, before everybody. Oh. He saw Seinfeld open mic. And he said, yeah,
but you know how many people said I was going to be famous? I let everybody down.
But I don't think it's over, dude. It's not over. I don't know. Because next? We're in a prime.
So
we're,
what's next for you? Are you going to shoot another special? Are you going to put it on YouTube like everybody else?
No, I'm working on another special. I mean, I have hours of shit, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I have hours of shit. But now it's about breaking it down. What's your next special going to be? This is going to be the theme. I'm going to take these and do this.
Right.
What I do on the weekends, when I do a weekend, I'll do 6 different hours.
Wow.
Or 5 different, because I pretend like I'm doing a special. I go, if I work this out, I can go, okay, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. Maybe change some shit around and maybe have help with somebody arranging the shit. Because Ruben Paul is good at arranging and putting your specials together. But all my specials I did on my own, you know, like you, right? I have two hour specials. I have a Showtime and I have a Comedy Central and a half hour. And they've always been mine. I wrote them. But I've worked out like the hours so many times and they're all strong.
Good.
I can move them around like a jigsaw puzzle.
So would you sell it to a streamer? Would you?
I would. Because a lot of like Ari Shaffir, that Jew one, it's called Jew.
Yeah.
It's at 6-7 million.
Guess where mine's at?
What?
3.
And mine is at about 3-2. My Showtime, I put it on YouTube some years ago. I think it's just reaching about 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
It's cool.
What's it called?
It's called, Regular Black.
Yeah.
Because that's what my friends used to call me when they found out I was Nigerian. They go, man, I thought you were regular black. My friend Hiram said that, man, I thought you were like regular black. And yeah. So that's, and I bring, so, and I did it with the guy Fine Arts. Steve, is it Fine Arts?
He's a director
and he directed Kamal Bell's and South by Southwest shit. And I liked the way he did it. So he directed my special in Chicago. I did it at Second City.
Oh, how cool.
Second City at the theater, the big stage.
I feel like I did a show there once.
Yeah, at Up Comedy Club.
Up Comedy. What happened in that place?
They stopped it, man.
Wow.
They were getting jealous, man. They stopped it.
I do the Schaumburg Improv.
I do Schaumburg.
And then I had an offer this year. I was supposed to.
Did you do Zanies?
Zanies.
Yeah, I did Zanies the one night.
No, I was booked for a weekend, and then it became a conflict with the Schaumburg Improv, and I had
Why?
To.
Oh, I did a one-nighter, because they let me do that. I did Schaumburg, and then I came on a Monday and did Zanies and sold it out. It's so small, I know,
but they felt it was a conflict, and I had my loyalties to the Schaumburg Improv.
Schaumburg, it's always first, because I was never in Zanies.
So if they told you you shouldn't do Zanies, you're going to...
I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, so I feel bad for the Zanies people. I'm probably not going to get back into Nashville because of it.
Well, and that's Lucy.
Yeah.
Lucy, who's fan... By the way, Lucy, you are fantastic. I love me some Lucy. I love Lucy.
Why do you love Lucy so much?
She gets it. She loves comedy.
Yeah.
And she's not some little...
Well, I...
Little mangy, witchy-ass chick. She's just a... Her man is a comic, and he's a nice guy. She's just awesome. She's just a wonderful
person. I had to pull out, so they're not happy with me. I'll tell you that much.
Well, you went against them or something?
No, I had to pull out of a zany state last minute because it was a, you know.
Well, they should be able to work it out. I think it's just you should tell them. Say,
I did.
And they should know the severity. In Chicago, Chicago Improv is the biggest thing.
I've been building it for years.
Chicago is big. It's a big room.
January.
It's a big revenue.
Mm-hmm.
They should know that.
Yep.
Everybody, see, that's what I love about Mark Grossman and Live Nation. They got Philly Improv and they got Philly Helium. They work together. They understand each other.
Yeah.
They work together. It's like I went to Philly Punchline, which I love Philly Punchline. I love Philly Helium. But when Philly Helium didn't give me a date right away, Molly was like, come do Philly Punchline.
Where's Philly Punchline?
It's in
South Street,
Fishtown, man. Right by the Fillmore. It's fucking sweet.
Wow.
It's right by the Fillmore, man. I want to do that.
How come I've never heard of this?
You never heard of?
No. Should I work
Philly
there?
Punchline?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Wow. All right. I want to do
it. The Green Room is sick.
Who's booking that?
It's Molly. That's Live Nation.
Oh.
Molly. You know Molly?
No, I don't know Molly.
You don't know Molly?
No.
Really hot, tatted chick?
No.
Yeah. All right. She looks like a hippie from the 60s.
Can we talk about Cirque du Soleil?
Yeah, we talk about surgery, but I'll be at Philly. When is this playing? When is this?
This will air on Monday. It's now.
Well,
Saturday.
I'm at Philly Punchline since we brought it up. That's July 20th to the 22nd. That's during my birthday. But nothing like working, doing what you love on your birthday. Yep. July 20th to the 22nd. But Monday, I'll be at April 28th to the 30th. I'll be at the Tampa Improv, and then May 4th to the 7th is the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Vinny.
Yeah, and I've been selling out there because of where our presence. We're doing the podcast, and my podcast is In Godfrey We Trust.
Now, what's going on with that?
It's fantastic. I'm over. My YouTube is 318,000 subscribers.
Wow, dude.
I've done over 400 something episodes, and it's going good. In Godfrey We Trust, Gas Digital Network, which is that's the Legion of Skanks. That's the same. I did Skankfest last year. It was fucking fun.
When's the last episode you recorded for that?
Last week.
Oh, it is. I thought you stopped doing your podcast. No. I thought you said on the phone.
No.
Do you have like a team behind you? Or are you like me alone in a Shasta trailer?
We're in a studio in the Lower East Side. It's fantastic.
Video.
Yeah, we got cameras and shit. We got a desk. And
who's your last guest?
My last guest was Chloe Hilliard, who writes on the Black Lady Sketch Show on HBO. And yeah, it was it was me. Dante Nero is he's a regular on there. He bounces off of me. And Mike, my producer, fantastic. Genius,
good for
Mike.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
You making money on that?
It's all right. It could be better. But you know what? I look at the bigger picture. And if I have, and I just look at the bigger picture, I'm making okay money. But what I'm really happy about is I'm reaching motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's showing on the road. That's what we want. Went that road shit.
Yeah, I'm selling tickets all of a sudden. I think it's because my special on YouTube has several million.
It's the engine, man.
Yeah.
Matt Rife. Shout out to Matt Rife. This fucker. You know Matt Rife.
Yes.
Pretty boy Matt Rife.
I'm the pretty boy.
Yeah, me too, but he's different pretty. He's like younger pretty. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Matt Rife, always a good, nice guy. Good kid. He did stand up. He didn't come from improv. He didn't do no Instagram shit. His shit blew up from TikTok. It really blew up. And I think he was resistant. I heard he was resistant about it, but some guy was like, yo, we need to start putting your clips up.
Right.
And boom, this fucker sold out all around the universe.
Yeah. It's
good for him.
It's inspiring. Good for him.
And I'm inspired. And I watch him. I go, yeah, I watch him.
What's mature is that you don't hate him.
I don't hate him at all. And I sent congratulations to the guy. I said,
well, you're kissing his ass. You wanted to.
I actually didn't. I don't want to open up for him.
No, you want to do a show with him.
No, I don't.
I'm kidding, Gomber.
If he does movies, maybe.
There you go.
Let me be your friend.
So in December of 2022, I was part of the Cirque du Soleil show called Mad Apple in New York City.
In New York.
I'm sorry, in Las Vegas. I was trying to remember which hotel it was at.
Right. Were you at the Bellagio?
No, good. I wish I was.
Was it the Hard Rock?
No, it was.
Was it the Rio?
Maybe it was in New York. It was in New York.
That's
New
where
York
the Comedy Cellar in Vegas is, in the Rio. That's a shit hotel, but.
How's that club? Good?
Oh, yeah. It's built like the cellar, kind of.
Yeah. So check this out. So it's a show. You know Cirque du Soleil. The people being flipped all over the place.
I've been to Cirque du Soleil. They're from Montreal, by the way.
You should hear Godfrey and I when they send us to Montreal. All we do is shit on that festival, right? That should be a TV show, just following me and Godfrey. Shitting on everything with that festival.
It's a beautiful festival. The women are, God.
They bring Godfrey and I in every year for the beginning of the festival. Then they kick us out right when it gets good.
Yeah, it gets good.
When the famous people come in.
Yeah, famous people would have TV shows.
They're like, you got to leave because Chappelle's selling out the stadium.
Yeah, and their posters are bigger than ours. We got to find ours. Our flyers on the ground. Oh, there I am. You guys coming?
Yeah, they created a show for us called The Ethnic Show.
Oh.
Godfrey's a black. I'm the Jewish guy. Then they put an Arab. And then a woman who's just a woman. That's her ethnic. So we love these guys because we've been working.
I love Bruce Hill and all. I love them.
Yeah, love them. But we're miserable.
Because we do 70 shows before like the real shows start, right?
Yeah, we're there forever. There's only one place to eat breakfast. It's called Egg Expectations. We're there every day.
That's so Canadian.
It's so Canadian. And
but the one thing that keeps you alive is the hot women. They're so hot. I just go, I just need a couple chicks to get me through because I'm being treated like shit.
You told me yesterday on the phone you don't do comedy to meet women. What's going on?
I don't.
Okay.
But these girls don't, you know, and they don't know you. You're just talking to women on the street. Me. They don't know you.
I have zero game. They don't know me. I've never had game.
But now with social media, man, once I started doing videos with Instagram stars, I started doing funny sketches. I'm in Montreal getting love. I like this.
Are you going up this year?
I don't know. I don't want, if they're going to put me on, because there was one year where they let me do my solo show.
Yeah, I love that.
At Cleopatra Club Key, and I sold out all my shows. I did a different hour every, and it was awesome. Right. And they didn't have me doing a bunch of the other name shows. I go, I don't want to do an ethnic show. I don't want to do those shows.
That's all I want to do in one gala.
I just want to do a gala, do my hour shit. But they were like, hey, man, can you do the... I was like, nah, man, I'm not coming. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do 11 shows where you get mad if I go over 12 minutes. I don't want to do that.
12, that's a lot of time. And the gala, for the people that don't know, is a televised. It's in a theater, Place des Arts.
It's like Place des Arts. Yeah. Place des Arts. And you know, I three years in a row, I got standing 3,000 people standing ovations. I get standing. You got standing ovations, right? I got boom, and then I did the French one.
Every standing ovation you see on those televised shows is either yours or mine.
Wow,
they're using ours as cutaways.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know I do. I told you the story. I'm not gonna say which comic that had to follow me the last time I was there, and I wanted to bury him, and I did. I'm coming for you. It's all I have. My only superpower is...
It's like, you're like Ali. Like, I told you, man. I told you, and you'll never follow me. I'm the greatest.
I'm pretty.
I'm fast. They call me Chocolate Thunder. I told you. You tried it. You tried your bullshit hack jokes, and it didn't work. Yeah. You're an Instagram comic. You're false. You're no good. You're dealing with the champ.
And conversely, if I really like a comic, I'll pull back at the end.
Really?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because out of respect.
You're not going to pull back on me.
No.
Fuck that.
They stood for me last night.
You smashed.
At the improv. Yeah.
You got in.
Yeah, I got in. No, because I know you can follow it. But if it's like a famous person that I respect, I'll pull back and I'll just sort of end like, say, listen, it's an honor to be on the show with this person, blah, blah,
ugh,
and just bring it down.
Fucking smack it. Who gives a shit?
I did that in front of some big people and you never work again.
Wow.
You know how that works.
Yeah. I don't know.
So this is Cirque du Soleil. So here's the story. Should we do it or should I just...
Show me. I want to see
it. I think you're going to laugh.
I want to see you come and fuck it up.
So I'll play a couple of clips first.
Okay.
This is just to give you a feeling of what...
Cirque du Soleil is amazing.
Yeah, put these on so you can hear that.
Cirque du Soleil, Cirque du Soleil is amazing, by the way.
Oh, it's great. So all I have to do...
How do I lower this?
Is it too... Where are you? How's that?
Okay, there. Go.
Better?
Yeah.
Okay. All you have to do, Cirque du Soleil, is I go out and I do 10 to 12 minutes of stand-up comedy at a specific time. I have to be standing in a place, and this wall opens, and I walk out, and I yell at the audience. They want me to be very aggressive.
You're yelling at them?
Yeah, you'll see. I'll show a little clip of me yelling at the audience. Like, so...
So that, the theme is comedy. Comedy.
No, it isn't. It's look at.
Is it a cabaret theme?
Yeah, okay, watch this. Here's just different clips. Here so here's a lady hanging from a rope or something.
Right.
Here's a guy being flipped around.
Yeah, I know those. Yeah, I've seen those guys.
Great.
They're unreal.
And bands. She's hanging by her hair.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, scary. Now watch it. She goes all the way across the stage. All right, there's more flipping coming up.
Right.
Right. A couple. Risking their lives.
Yeah. No net.
Way above the stage.
Fuck.
Scary, acrobatic athletes. These are athletes. This guy flips this woman. It's the big close. Catches her.
Jesus
then he
Christ.
Throws her down on the ground. And then I come out. That's me. Just yelling.
Curse?
Yeah, curse. You got people jumping around. Look at this guy with his body.
Wow.
If you saw what this guy did, it is absolute genius.
It's amazing.
Genius, okay?
Yeah.
Then, at the end of the show, so you get a flavor of what this show is like, all I have to do is take a bow.
That's it.
Who could screw that up?
You.
The comedian.
Yeah, of course.
Only the comedian.
Yeah, you don't know.
So, I watched this night after night. I would sit on the side.
Were you a resident or something?
I was there for a week. We did like...
Nice money?
95 shows. It's okay. You know, we do better on the road.
You did 95 shows?
No, it's a lot. It's like two shows a night.
Ooh.
But it's exhausting because this is run like...
How many minutes are you doing?
10 to 12. But there's people that have clipboards. You got to be in a specific place. There's all blocking. You've got to... They're setting stuff up behind you. You've got to walk
How'd
around
you get this
holes
gig?
In the stage.
How'd you get the gig?
Barry Katz.
Of course.
Yeah.
Hey, Ornie, I got a great gig for you. It's a Cirque du Soleil. I think you'd be great for
Brad
it.
Brad Williams did
Brad
it.
Williams. Oh, did Brad Williams? Yeah, Brad he's like, Brad looks perfect for that shit. You heard what I said, Brad.
Wait, what does Brad have that I don't have?
You, Brad. Who else?
I don't know. A bunch of other comics. There's a guy named Harrison who's the...
Harrison Greenbaum.
Yeah, he's the MC.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, you know, he's a magician. Magic. He's amazing.
He's a magician, yeah.
Yeah, Harrison Greenbaum. Yeah, he told me he was moving to Vegas.
Yeah, it's his, and he's engaged to a woman.
Yeah, I used to think he was gay. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I'm not gay. I'm, you know, I thought. I didn't know.
Okay.
Go ahead, Harrison Greenbaum.
He engaged. Went to Harvard.
I didn't know he went to Harvard.
Yeah, smart kid.
He's nice very, kid. He's I love Harrison.
But it's his show, and he was so welcoming. That's
and this is Cirque du Soleil.
This is, I've worked on TV shows. I've worked on all sorts of productions and comedy, live shows for years. I've never worked with a nicer, more supportive group of people.
Wow.
All the way from the top to the bottom.
Cirque du Soleil.
Couldn't have been nicer. In fact, what I'm about to show
were
you.
Were they hot chicks?
I thought I was getting fired.
Were the women beautiful?
Everybody's beautiful. Can you concentrate on my story?
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
Jesus.
Nothing like a girl that, you date a girl that can twist on her hair. There's my woman's flipping on her hair.
They were putting their legs on bars that I couldn't reach with my hands.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
Wow.
That ups the level of hotness, doesn't it?
Oh, but, my goodness.
But the great thing is that they're all backstage, like stretching and doing things with their muscles and massaging. And I'm back there eating
sniffing
the Snickers.
Sniffing their own assholes with their head.
I'm eating the Snickers.
Oh,
that's what the comic gets ready. Eats a Snickers. And I wonder why I'm overweight. I'm out of shape. I go, what do you guys do? Is it diet? I'm eating a Snickers for my 10 to 12 minutes out there. Meanwhile, they're not eating anything. And they're like, they're risking their lives.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That woman spinning by her hair. That,
I just, wow.
If you saw at the end, she spins.
No alopecia, huh? None.
I had such respect. They couldn't have been nicer and more welcoming. In fact, if what happened, what I'm about to show you, happened on any other production, the people would have a hissy fit. And they'd have me I thought I was fired.
Wow.
Because, like, you had to be in a place at a certain time.
At a certain time, right.
So, for the first three nights, five shows, I sat on the side of the stage, and they told me when this, like, bus comes out, or cab, New York City cab comes out on the stage, the lead singer is going to be on the cab singing, and when he jumps off the cab, he signals to you, and you guys run up stage together, and he puts his arm around me, and I go take a bow. But I never saw I wanted to see what everybody was doing, what the final number is, and I couldn't see it from the side of the stage. So they said the only place you can see it is if you stay in the basement, which is the holding area, green room for all of us, watch it on the monitor, but don't miss your cue. When that thing starts to come out, get upstairs.
The cab.
Okay. Now, I'm downstairs.
This is going to be bad.
I see the cab coming out. Okay. I start running upstairs. Look at Godfrey's. I start running upstairs. Now, you can't just run to your position because all these athletes and performers and singers are all running around backstage and you're crossing into everybody. So, well, I'll tell you what, watch a minute. This is the beginning of the closing number because it's a lot of fun. So, this is where everybody comes out and takes their bows.
Oh, who's that? The black dude.
I know he's the lead singer. I can't remember all their names.
Come on, y'all. Yeah.
But they're all taking bows.
And they're singing.
Yeah. I mean, how much fun is this?
Oh, I thought that was the guy that...
Look, here comes more acrobatic stuff. People spinning. If you have my Patreon, you can watch this next
Boogie
week.
Boogie Wonderland.
I'm just selling.
Thanks. 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 Wow. That talk, that sleep, that funky stuff. Give it to me. Got the Rick James thing.
Now, only one person could screw up this closing number, Godfrey.
I cannot wait.
Yep.
Got a basketball. That sweet funky.
So they're all taking their bows, if you're listening to the audio.
Hello. They're singing all the Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's very urban.
Oh, it is. Yeah, of course. It's New York City. Look at this guy, his shirt off, taking a bow.
Oh, this is all New York themed.
Yeah, it's Big Apple, Mad Apple. Okay, here comes the minibus, taxi, whatever that the lead singer should be on. This is when I start running upstairs. Okay, now imagine me running up the stairs. Now I'm out of breath running up there. Now I'm running around backstage because I'm stage left. So I'm.
Where's Artie?
Yeah. No, I'm not supposed to come out yet. Okay, here's Harrison taking his bow.
Oh, here, wow.
Okay, but here's the lead singer. I'm pointing at the lead singer. Do you see this? Okay.
Harrison. Oh, my God, Harrison's dancing.
Oh, yeah, Harrison gets into it, yeah.
Wow, oh, he's really doing a bust. It.
Yeah, he earns
this
his money.
Awesome.
Okay, so now this is what it looks like when I come out. Everybody's on stage, and I see the lead singer, and I go, shit, I missed my cue.
Where are you?
So I run out. You're going to see me coming from the right, from this side.
Okay,
so I figure I missed the cue because this guy's upstage singing. So there I am. Now watch me run into people like Frogger. Look at this. Look at. Oh, I run into that guy. No, I run into this girl. Now I go this way. I go back. And now I'm on stage alone. And I know I screwed up.
You're so bad. That was hilarious. You're so bad.
And I go, she be leaving. And I walk backstage, and the producer goes, you just made the blooper reel. But I go, I'm getting fired.
They must be laughing at that shit.
No, I thought they were going to be really upset. Now look at Harrison's upstage. So now the guy's on top of the cab. You see this?
Right, where are you supposed to be?
Well, now he's going to signal for me, but he doesn't hug me like he used to. I think he's upset.
Because he fucked up.
Yeah.
This is so funny. And where are you?
I'm backstage waiting for my cue. Because I came out.
What are they doing now?
I came
now?
Out too early. VIP and tell them to stand up. I'll turn it up. Listen.
We need your help. This is.
It's a really fun show.
It really is, huh?
Mad Apple.
All these girls look
Cirque
so hot.
LA.
Everyone's in great shape.
Not me or Harrison. Look at Harrison.
Harrison is really going.
Yeah. Wait till you see me fake dance.
Harrison is killing
it. Okay, now watch
it,
the guy on the yellow car, because he's about to come off right. And signal to me. And this was the cue. I came on too early is what happened.
This is so funny. Oh, my God.
And I'll play it again when I come on at the wrong times. Okay, now he signals to me. And normally we run out together, but I think he was upset at me. And there I am, running upstage for my bow.
This is so funny. And you're smiling.
Oh, yeah.
And you fucked up.
Yeah, because I go, I'm about to be fired. Take a bow.
Now he gives you a little love.
Yeah, a little love. Oh. It's like a Cialis commercial, the way I dance.
Oh, Green Bomb is killing you.
Yeah.
Oh, the two Jewish boys
greet
each other.
Yeah.
And the black dude's like, who's this guy? I like the one with the red.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so funny. God. You're so ridiculous. That was so great.
Oh. Now watch, I have to dance off again. Now watch how I dance off. It is a Cialis commercial. Look at me.
This shoulder thing you do?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. Thank you. I've never been so out of place. I don't even know where to go. Look at me. I'm in the middle of the stage. I'm lost. I'm a...
Oh, did you fuck up? That was so funny.
You gotta see it again. Because
the fact that you're smart.
Well, I'm a pro. I'm a pro.
Oh, fuck. This is...
So watch this.
That is so funny because we're on the move. And the music's playing. You're so bad. Everybody's on cue. Everyone's doing their thing. And here you come.
Yeah.
And then the fact that you're a comic, it makes it funny.
Well, I think so. They did not want to let me release this footage.
They might. They go, can you do that again?
I know. Well, look, it's like Frogger.
I'm
like,
do it?
Oh, no. This is too late.
Do you still do it?
Look at, I'm like running into people. Watch when I come out. This big guy, I thought he was going to punch me in the vest. Oh, wait. Hold on. I'm going to roll it back a little more. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Okay, watch
you
the
guys
guy.
Had to rehearse all
but
this
watch
shit
the guy
too.
In the vest. I almost run into him. Okay, here I come. What's going on this side? Watch this.
What's up in the balcony? We see you. Let's party.
You almost got elbowed.
And then I come upstage. I'm alone. I'm like, I screwed up. Then I run into that guy.
Yo, you are such an asshole. Yo, and then you do this Frankenstein shit.
I don't.
That shit is funny as fuck.
All right, Goffrey, you do a play-by-play of it right
okay.
now.
Okay. All right, and here we go. Here's the ending. Oh, man, what an ending. Spectacular Cirque du Soleil. The theme is Bad Apple, New York style. All right, Ornie, here comes... Wait a minute. What do we have here? Oh, boy, we have a disruption. Ornie was supposed to be on his mark, and he's trying to wave. He almost gets elbowed by the big guy, and he runs into that. He's moving around. He does this weird... Now he's in by himself and does a terrible dance, gets in the way of that guy. What an obstruction. Oh, God. Ornie Adams, I think this might be his last gig. Oh, and Ornie goes off to the in an embarrassment. Thank God.
I love the guy that I turn around into.
That was
who
great.
Pushes
get the fuck out the way.
I think he's French.
Yeah, he was like, move out the way, you will.
Rolling it back again. Here I come.
There he goes on the rollback.
But then I do this in the middle. I knew I was in trouble. I start waving my hand.
Yo. And then the fact that you're ducking. Oh, and again, the big guy's like, twist. Whoa. He's like, get the fuck out the way. Yo. Oh. And he's like, move out the way, you piece of shit comedian. Want to go tell the joke? You think everything is a joke? That's hilarious. And then you go back in shame.
Oh, my God.
It would be great if they were reprimanding you back there.
Oh, I mean, that should be on the reel,
that would
for
be
sure.
Did they say you were going on the bloopers?
I'm bringing it down. Yeah. Yeah, I would have released this.
So are you still doing this?
No. They've asked me back, but I just haven't been able to fit into my schedule.
You want to do it again?
I would do it like a week at a time. Yeah, I couldn't. They offered me a 6-month residency.
Wow.
I couldn't. That's too much for me. Yeah. Then they offered me 3 months. I said no. And then they offered me the whole month of December. But, that's a big month for comics.
Yeah.
So I said no. And then they offered me 2 weeks. I said no. And then they offered me a week. And that's what I took.
They like you.
I loved it. They were fun. But I couldn't. I was in Vegas last week for Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club.
Yeah.
I can't be in Vegas.
I can't take Vegas. I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's a depressing. It's during COVID, I did Vegas. I did the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
Vegas. And I met Rich Little.
Oh my God. Do you want to hear my Rich Little story?
Yeah, he has a residency.
Yeah.
And he does his impersonations and it's old school people. Yeah. He still does like Johnny Carson, like dated fucking. It's wild.
Really well produced.
No, well produced.
Rich Little, for the people that don't know, was one of the biggest impersonators. In fact, he's the one who with Johnny Carson got. I did not know that.
Good stuff. Wow.
So he can do all.
Yeah, he can do all.
A million voices.
He's amazing.
So they put him in there at 3 p.m. at the Laugh Factory or what is the name of that hotel?
Where are we staying at? I don't even remember.
So I said, I'm going to go see Rich Little because this is...
I went to go see him.
Yeah. So it's...
I got a photo too.
It's very sad because there was only like a third full to maybe half.
This is like COVID?
No, this is not COVID.
Oh, okay. Because was COVID and it was...
Yeah. Okay. But listen, it's not easy to sell tickets.
It's going to happen to all of us. Go ahead.
Yeah. But it's just, this was the biggest guy. He probably had more appearances on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson than anybody.
Yeah.
And just to see this. But so he would get into an impression and this, I would say, old school mobster guy is heckling him.
Oh.
So, but not heckling him. Like every time he would finish an impression, he would stand up and give him a standing ovation.
Right.
Okay. But he would always, he kept stepping on his lines. So he would say, and then I went on a talk show and I was, I made more appearances than any other guest. And the guy would go, here's Johnny. Or he would say, here's Johnny. And so he kept like stepping on his impressions.
like Jack Nicholson.
He goes, here's Johnny. And he kept like, you know, like he would step on his like John F.
Rich
Kennedy.
Was so pissed.
So I I go up to the bouncers, and Rich started saying something like, you know, addressing it. And so I go up to the
82 going, yo, shut the fuck up.
I go out because I'm a performer, and I know when a performer's not happy. So I go out and I go, I said to the security, I said, hey, you should probably say something to that guy, you know? And they go, Rich likes it.
Oh, it's set up.
No, it isn't.
Oh, it's
no,
not.
No, they're just like, Rich likes it. In other words, they're not doing anything about it. Or you can't talk to that guy for whatever reason. Yeah, Rich likes it. That's all he said. That's our business. Godfrey, I want to thank you for coming on. Yo, we did 90 minutes.
90
I was going to do an hour. Now I got to edit this shit.
Oh, sorry.
Now you gave me a big to-do.
This was, but you, we were watching your circus.
All right, that took up 10 minutes.
Paying it back.
Because it's epic,
like,
isn't
15
it?
Minutes, bro.
Well, I've been waiting since December to release this with the right guests. And oh, I go, nobody. You're crying. Your tears.
That was so damn funny. Because we perform in Montreal where we know Montreal. They come from Montreal. And I've watched the documentary on Cirque du Soleil and how they train and the whole nine. So I've seen Cirque du Soleil. I've seen it.
You've seen it. Godfrey, what are your the Instagram, all that stuff?
Instagram is Comedian Godfrey and Instagram. My TikTok is also, I think it's Godfrey Comedian is my Instagram. Let me check
you better,
my...
You better know what that is.
I'm Godfrey. Getting on my TikToks. I do my TikTok lives a lot too now. Watch. Godfrey Comedian on TikTok. All right. And I'm Comedian Godfrey on Instagram. Follow me on that. Go to my website, godfreylive.com. I have a new website. And you can go and find tickets and leave your email addresses on there. I have an email list on there. Godfreylive.com. Because you want to see me live, you go to godfreylive.com.
Godfrey is a dynamic performer.
Yeah.
He's excellent. Every show's different. You can go see him twice. You can't see me twice in a weekend. You can see Godfrey.
Right.
You can absolutely. And Godfrey, remember this. This is most important.
Nationwide is on your side.
Damn
never
right.
Never forget. Yeah.
I will never forget that.
Never forget that.
Nationwide is on your
side. Yeah. No, I mix.
Wow, I didn't know.
Nationwide is on
whoa,
your side.
Whoa, you're like a DJ.
Yeah, like a DJ. Shingles doesn't
Shingles
care.
Doesn't care. Can, good for you. Shingles
you can get all that
care.
Down, but you can't get your cue on Cirque du Soleil.
No, I can't.
Shingles is on your side.
Doesn't care.
Nice.
Good for you.
Shingles doesn't care.
Nice.
Godfrey, thank you for coming on. I think you're amazing. You've been a friend forever.
Thank you very
and
much.
You really, the fact that you cried during my Cirque du Soleil
that shit was
made this all worth it. That is for sure. I want to listen. If you want to keep in touch with me, the email is very easy. It's whatswrong@ornyadams.com.
Okay.
Now I'm paying a premium to keep that email with Google.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what's wrong with that. I want to thank the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club for another great week, and I'll be back in July.
Yes.
And next weekend, I'm in Port Charlotte.
Port Charlotte.
At Visani, this restaurant, Italian restaurant. It's a comedy zone, and it's almost sold out. There's a very few tickets left, except for the late show Friday.
Make sure you guys, you're showing this on Monday, right?
What's that? Yes.
This is Monday. So, April 28th to the 30th, Tampa Improv. All right, April 20th to 30th, May 4th through the 7th is Stress Factory in, New Brunswick, New Jersey. And I got Helium Comedy Club in Indianapolis in May also.
Send a message to Vinny.
Okay.
Time to get rid of the payphone in the background.
Oh, that payphone.
Time to go.
Maybe I'll call him from there and go, yo, get rid of this
nothing
shit.
Nothing makes Vinny look older than when he posts a clip with the payphone in the background.
That's bad.
He should get up there reading the newspaper,
too. He might
too.
Bring it back, so he's probably holding on to it.
Retro. But it's another 10 years.
Retro, right, retro.
But put it off to the side and then bring it back.
Payphones are going to come back because people are going to be like, wow, we can call people from a thing, yeah.
Hey, send your letters, send your comments, whatswrongandornyadams.com. You can watch the video on patreon.com/orny.
Wow, nice.
Keep in touch, everybody.
You got a Patreon.
Barely.
Okay.
You know, it's like everything else in this business.
Yeah.
My life's a major disappointment.
We love what we do. Comedy is a true art form, and you cannot rush the process. I'm going to fuck who you are.
Oh, I hit the wrong thing. Sometimes I do that. I hit the wrong
thing. Nice.
Godfrey, thanks for coming in, buddy.
It's always a pleasure, my brother.
Yes. That was great, dude.
That was awesome. Oh, that shit had me rolling. That was...
That shirt just so... It's really my greatest moment.
I'm glad it happened.
Yeah, me too.